Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Homo sapiens listeners. I'm just jumping on here, did you hear me jump, to tell you that we have exciting news. If you want to listen to Homo sapiens without the ads, now you can. You can subscribe to Homo sapiens Plus on Apple Podcasts and all future episodes will be ad-free. How do you sign up? Well, go inside your Apple Podcasts app, go to our Homo sapiens homepage, and the option to subscribe to Homo sapiens Plus for £1.49 a month is there. There's also BT Dubs, a 7-day free trial available, so you can try before you buy, which is my favourite. I like to do that in the supermarket whenever they've got a little snack being handed out. Anyway, I digress. Hello, part two of our chat with Florence Given. If you haven't heard part one, it's on the feed. Go there first. If you have, here's part two.
You were talking a second ago about school there.
Mm.
I feel like, but you can tell me if it's true, that you're someone who's changed quite a lot since school.
Mm, and massively, yeah.
You were quite shy, would that be right?
No. Right. I was. I think I went into my shy era the moment I left my friendship group. So right. Kind of went into school a really expressive young girl, was obsessed with Lady Gaga. I read Twilight books back to front all the time in the rain because I felt I was Bella. And like I would just sit and then just be like listening to the soundtrack. And I would go into school and I wore this badge that said, I love Twilight. And as soon as peer pressure kicked in and suddenly the cliques are forming, all of that evaporated and I just became whatever the girls wanted me to be.
Really?
Yes, I just craved nothing more than being accepted by women. And I actually think I've had a more of a relation, you know, we talk about the male gaze, gaze with a Z, seeking male validation. And actually I feel like, and I don't know if this has anything to do with being queer, but I had a much harder time, I think, in hindsight, being accepted by women and kind of craving and yearning for that a lot more. And yeah, I would have done anything for them, squashed a lot of the parts of myself. I was friends with a lot of people outside of school and I would get taken the mickey out for that, but it was by my own friends. And it was this very weird, enmeshed friendship group where I would have done anything for them. And even I would be in the group one day, out the next day, sat on my own for a week, and then they'd just choose to pick me up when the other girl wasn't doing what they wanted her to do. And then you're back in the group, so you do anything to stay in that group. You stay silent when they're being mean in class. Mm. You're just there, and you're just with them, and you feel like you have protection from what they're going to do to everyone else.
Whoa.
And then I got kicked out of the group. They spread a rumor around me at school. I was doing really well in my grades, actually. And they spread a rumor around me about school that had some truth in it. It was about my personal life and I was very embarrassed. I was going through something. And because I was then fully just kicked out of the group, I had this beautiful opportunity and I can't even believe I saw it as one because it was horrible. It was depressing and I was on my own, but I saw it as an opportunity to find myself. And I was like, now I can get back to floss. Now I can get back to the joyful ray of fucking sunshine human that I was before I tried to fit in with whatever school wanted me to be. So then that's when I went into my very, I used to meditate. I was 14 and I went to W.H. Smith to pick up a book on mindfulness and meditation because I'd Googled, why do I have heart palpitations? Turned out I had anxiety from going to school and seeing the girls. So I developed all of these techniques to protect myself from them and their energy. I could feel it, you know, and I would imagine myself being in this like impenetrable bubble where their energy couldn't get in. And I used to do things like lay in the middle of a field when it was sunny and listen to my favorite album on my headphones because it was so embarrassing to do that, to be seen as like being this person who craves solitude and is like a bit spiritual. It's just a bit cringy when you're that age. But I really wanted to sit in the middle of this field and listen to my music. So I did it. And then slowly I just broke down these little barriers.
So you were testing yourself in those moments.
Yeah, because I think my biggest fear was being or rather being seen to be alone. People even still fear it now, like when you're single or when you don't have many friends because you've just moved to a city, the idea of going and sitting in a cafe on your own is quite terrifying for a lot of people. And I think it's that thing of being seen alone is quite, I don't think it is a justified reality that it is embarrassing to be seen alone, but it feels embarrassing to be seen alone, I think. So yeah, that was my my era of solitude, and I made amazing friends in other classes in my school. And then I moved to art college where I started my illustrations and really kicked off with expressing myself in that way.
And was it an all-girls school?
Yes.
And do you think they are particularly toxic environments?
I really wouldn't know what to say because I didn't go to a comprehensive school where it was mixed genders, but I think perhaps if I'd gone to a comprehensive school, maybe more of my time would have been spent worrying about what boys thought of me. Boys can be really mean to girls. Then there's that competitiveness that gets in the way with girls in class. But I've read, so Gloria Steinem has an amazing book on confidence. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's just called Confidence Within or something like that. And she's done so many surveys on how young girls in school don't put their hands up because they don't want people to look at them.
Right.
So it's like it's this awareness of our beauty from such a young age that like we don't want to draw attention to our new pimples that are growing or to our face. We don't want the boys to look at us, or we don't want, or we've not got the latest clothes. And I think that's across all genders, to be honest. But she did a survey on women. But yeah, it's this like we don't want to put ourselves forward because of the boys. So I feel like also being in an environment with all girls, there was no kind of cap on my I felt perhaps less pressure to adhere to gender roles in school. So we were loud girls in my school, like loud. And there was no like, oh, we need to be quiet and shy for the boys or anything like that. We were loud girls.
Yeah, I suppose that has its own unique thing, doesn't it, that you're not kind of trying to be. But it was interesting what you were saying about it wasn't the male gaze, it was like the female gaze that had the power. And I can so see exactly what you're talking about with that, because I remember
with yourself even
with myself, but also with, it's almost like the female gaze is governed by the male gaze. And so you,
it's like a prism, it does it through it.
So and it's very you know, I think that quote, that I think you've said something similar, but I'm not sure if this was exactly you. It's like, being pretty is not your tax for being on this planet.
Yes, that's Erin McKean.
Erin McKean, And there's a certain age where girls, let's talk about girls for a sec, but then we can bring in other people. Like, it is understood that that's how you have to behave, that you have to be a certain way in order to be. And you are, and it's very powerful of girls over other girls controlling how they behave. But that is all feeding into the idea of the male gaze. And I'm sort of, you know, I understand it's more nuanced now. And then I think there is a male version of that as well, which I experienced because I went to an all boys school. But I had I'd been to mixed schools as well. So it's kind of a bit of both. And I was always really happy.
Were you in a boys school for longer?
Yeah. I went to a mixed school, then a boys' school, then a mixed school, then a boys' school. But that was a much bigger chunk. That was like nine till the end of school.
Okay.
But I was very, very happy at the mixed schools because I was young, queer boy. Like, so I just hung out with the girls and we had a lovely time. And they were actually my oasis. Like, break time, I'd see them and I'd run to them and we'd skip.
Great.
But I was sort of, but the male rule book that I was having pushed on me was was extremely intense as well. But I had some escape. I could be a bit of both, and actually I kind of wafted between the two.
And that was at the mixed school. You preferred that?
Loved it. And I actually think as well, like, my the all boys school was a private school, and I think they are schools that deliver whatever they say. They deliver a very narrow idea of what you're supposed to be. It was very controlling in its own way, and I found that in the mixed school there was a lot more room for people who were neither, or who wafted between the two.
Well, again, it's like that binary system that we were talking about at the beginning. It's like there's no room for anything that's in between or fluid.
And so, that was, you know, that was my experience. And I thought it was, I didn't enjoy the rest of it. And I think I remember very clearly having an experience like you of like, I arrived at school as one thing, really happy, and then I spent the next 10 years trying to get back to that person who walked in that door, because I listened and because I was nice, to be honest. Like, yeah. Nice people listen and therefore get a bit more messed up, I think. You know, because you're like, oh, I kind of want to fit in, and you know.
Yeah, I just felt like a doormat. I felt like a fucking doormat, really? Honestly. Yeah, like, I look back and I just want to give Floss a big hug and be like, you don't need these. Like, they would tell me what to do and I'd do it. You know, it was like, it started all the way in primary school. Like, I feel like I have a lot more, I don't know, like, you know, when you grow up and you get into like your 20s, you start to look back and go, oh, what kind of things shaped me? And I do think it was my relationships with women that definitely have shaped me the most. Like, most of my attachments were formed with female friendships in my early childhood and stuff. And yeah, I don't really know. I think it's probably, I mean, maybe I'm just assuming it's common because it's my experience, but I think a lot of women have experienced quite intense, fraught female friendships because of the intimacy that we have with each other also. And I don't know if maybe that's just queer women. I don't know, get super attached to girls and we don't know what that feeling is. I also never had any example of queer love or what that even looked like. And no one really talks about the confusing nature of friendships with women when you are queer, because also queer and feminine, because no one really saw me as queer, which made me not see myself as queer, which took me longer to come out as queer. And then when people find out you're queer, then they look back at your sleepovers differently and you feel gross and they feel gross. And you're like, no, but I just love you as a friend. And then they feel weird about it. And then you're like, God, was I in love with that girl when I was 15? Probably. Yeah. I just didn't know it. And then you're like looking back on this whole experience. And I think that probably influenced a lot of my friendships as well. Very intense.
Yeah. But also it's a time of transition and change, isn't it? Like, you're growing up and...
Yeah.
Maybe some of those sleepovers were charged, but you were probably, charged. You know, you were like, yes. Not that you were charging on the door.
No, but like, I know exactly what. I know, I love the word. That's why I repeated it. I love it. Charged.
But you know, it's like, how are you supposed to know? And also, it's a sleepover. Like, other people are doing it, and that's the thing as well. It's like, it's annoying being a queer kid because, like, everybody else, not everybody else, because there's other queer kids there. By, you know, statistics will tell you, but like. Everyone else is just having a sleepover and you're having existential crisis that you're in the wrong room.
So you have a kid now, don't you?
Yes.
Will you let your kid have sleepovers? This is like such a big debate at the moment.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
is a thing.
because there's so many campaigns online talking about, I've just seen a lot of it going around. I don't know what area of, I'm not even a parent. Like, I don't know why it's coming up on my TikTok for you page, but, yeah, it's interesting to me because I've also been talking with someone recently who's queer and she was never allowed sleepovers and she feels deprived of that existential crisis when I talk about mine. So when I talk about my existential crisis, she's like, I never got to have weird gay sleepovers when I grew up because my parents wouldn't let me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that I will definitely let my daughter have sleepovers. But I think as well, that's about baking it in, which my generation didn't do. It's like... We'd have a lot of talk about consent and what's going on prior to that. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Oh my God. I was never taught consent growing up.
No.
No.
Not at all. Like, and, you know, and also, isn't it funny that we talk about it differently for men and women?
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, if a boy is sat down to talk about consent, it'll be about someone giving you consent. Whereas if you took a girl down, traditionally it would be like...
You deserve consent. Like, yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Yeah, damn. But even like consent goes so into so many other arenas as well, which I'm learning about in every single aspect as well. I used to think that consent was just something sexual, but it's even asking people like whether it's physical touch or non-physical touch or like, can I post this picture of you on Instagram?
Yes.
You know, like social media boundaries and privacy and friendships. And also, it's a whole other thing when you have a platform and people want to just have a photo with you. Yes. And whenever someone says, hey, Floss, do you mind if I post this picture? I feel so safe with them. Oh. I feel like, yeah, when they ask, do you mind? Is this okay? Can I tag you? I'm like, I trust you.
Yeah.
Go for it.
That's lovely.
Yeah. But there's so many other boundaries that I think we're learning about also. I definitely grew up with social media. However, I did not grow up with this inbuilt, incessant need to be validated online by other people, which I think is now just such an embedded part of the young generation, because it's like, can you even imagine how hard it is being in secondary school and now having like a TikTok account when you're in secondary school and seeing all the girls and seeing who's got more followers? Like, I definitely didn't have that in school. I cannot imagine how that feels.
So you think that generation have more need for validation in
there's
that
a bigger
sense.
Playground for it all to play out on, I feel. So whereas before I had social media, but it wasn't as like important. Some people didn't have an Instagram. You were just posting your little pictures of yourself or your shoes with your friend's shoes, and like you're posting your like peace sign pictures with the ugly like Valencia Instagram filter over it. and now it's like Facetune, TikTok dances, yes, all of this stuff where it's almost like this rat race of popularity.
Yes.
And I cannot imagine, like high school is a popularity contest anyway. Yeah. And then with it being on up with literal numbers, being able to see your numbers and then being able to see what boy likes this and what girl likes this. And it's like, it's given us the best breeding ground for our insecurities to just fester on. Yeah. Like if you want to know what your partner's into, you can go on what they're liking and who they're following. And you can just find out information that you just really shouldn't know.
Yeah.
You know, send you in this big spiral.
So on TikTok, because I'm not on it, can you see what people have liked and stuff?
You can if people make them private, but right, I'm talking more about like Instagram and yes, whatever. But yeah, with TikTok, I think I also saw this thing recently on TikTok where someone was saying, we're not meant to see this many beautiful people in our lifetime. Like, we're not meant to see this many, you know. And, yes, and this guy was like, back in the day, you know, there'd be like one 10 out of 10 in your village and you'd all be a bit like,
in your village,
wow,
you'd be lucky, yeah,
you know. And now we're seeing beautiful people all the time in different circumstances with different privilege levels, mm, who maybe aren't showing that they had this different upbringing. And then you're like, why am I not doing this at X, Y, and Z age? And then it's all of this comparison that we're seeing because we're seeing the best of the best. And also it's like all these people that do post on social media are people who are maybe extroverted, got this extreme confidence. And we're seeing this kind of like very narrow portion of society, like comparing ourselves to, yes, it. Not to mention it's also everybody's highlight reel. But social media has absolutely, you know, I'm complaining about it a lot right now, but it's changed my life. I wouldn't have a career without it. I wouldn't have two massive published books without it, to have a platform, to have an audience that read my work. It's fucking insane and it's changed my life. And it can also just be so awful to your mental health.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Because Daniel Howells came on this podcast recently. So he was a YouTuber. He is a YouTuber. He doesn't like being called a YouTuber. But anyway, he's got millions of followers and he shows up a lot on YouTube. So whatever that, he disappeared for 2 years because it was overwhelming him.
Okay.
And then he came back and he sort of did this video where he said, I'm going to tell you what it's really like being an influencer.
Oh, damn, I need to watch this.
Yeah, you'll like
it.
And he was saying, you know, like, I was a slave to the algorithm and, you know, and all it was me comparing myself to other influencers and all this stuff. And mm-hmm. It's really interesting. But I wonder what your version of that is, because, like you say, it gave you a career. But, yeah, it's like playing with fire, right?
Yeah, it's like, I would say I've built my audience over 4 to 5 years and I've never felt in such community with women. I feel so tapped into women as a collective. I feel very aware of what they're going through. I feel very aware of what their concerns are at the moment, just because they tell me and they trust me and they confide in me all the time. And I have a Q&A section on my podcast. Yes. And I just care about women so much. I just think we're so much better off when we're friends, when we're looking after each other, when we're kissing each other, than when we're competing with each other and we're being nasty to each other, because we feel this like limited amount of space.
Yeah.
And there's this, I experienced it in high school, I've experienced it in my career as well. There's this theory called the crabs in the bucket theory. Yes. Have you heard of it?
Yes.
So it's
only
where,
because of you, but yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't stop fucking talking about it. The other day I was going for a walk in the park with my friend and I was like, have you heard of the crabs in a bucket theory? And this girl like noticed me and she was like, hi. And I was like, oh my God, I'm doing it in public. And people like, she don't shut up about it. So basically the crabs in a bucket theory is that when a fisherman collects crabs in a bucket at sea, puts them in a bucket, they can collectively help each other escape the bucket and go back into the ocean. They can do that.
Yes.
But they don't.
Right.
The second a crab actually gets its way out of the bucket, they all pull it down. They work together to pull this crab back down, so they have a collective demise.
Oh.
It's this like if I can't have it, you can't.
Mm.
And we see that within communities where there's almost this fake idea of we have limited space, there's not enough room for everyone.
Mm.
And I said this analogy recently on my podcast, obviously. Mm. I say it all the time. And someone commented on it on the YouTube video that got uploaded of the podcast and was like, this is an interesting theory, and crabs don't naturally occur in buckets. They don't naturally occur in buckets. So it's this thing of like, that's not crab's nature, just the way it's not women's nature to compete. Uh-huh. Only when we put it into an environment where we're taught to compete that there is limited space does that happen. If there were more examples of women in the media, if there were more examples of female leadership, we wouldn't feel so hard to compete. And then I spoke to Deborah Francis White, and she spoke about like the boys club, where they're doing favors for each other because they know it's going to come back around. If I help you with this, don't worry, I know you're going to have my back again.
Yes.
And it's this abundant mindset that men are taught to have, whereas women typically are taught to have this scarcity mindset. If I get this job, I'm not letting anyone fucking in because there's not enough room. And it's this this trust that we need to grow and have in women, that when they open the door, they're going to let other people in as well.
Yes.
And that's what I always want to do with my career. I want to open spaces in the future. I really want to open a cafe. I want to open things that just bring people together. And just by virtue of me being the host of it, it kind of sets the tone that this is what you do here.
There's
none of that bullshit.
You said that you feel like you understand really clearly what concerns women at the moment. And I'm thinking specifically about folding in queer women there as well. But what is on their mind at the moment?
I think, again, I have a very niche thing going on my Instagram. So a lot of the stuff is about relationships. And what I see, I'm sure there are so many more problems that women are going through, but particularly I feel like women are becoming more progressive, especially after the pandemic, because we had so much time to reflect and think and be in solitude, where typically we were either busy and whatever. So many people realized they hated their jobs because the 9-to-5 was built so that people can't even think about what they're doing. And people don't have time to pause. So like during the pandemic, so many people had time to pause and think, oh my god, I've been running on autopilot. Is this even fulfilling me? Is this relationship fulfilling me? And so many people realized they were queer during the pandemic because they had time to pause and be in their own original thought and space with unmuddied waters by other people's thoughts and stuff. So I feel like women are becoming a lot more progressive. Women are learning a lot more about their standards. There was that whole survey that came out recently on Psychology Today where it was like, men are becoming more lonely and single the more that women's standards raise. And doesn't that say a lot? So I think that with all of this rise in women learning more about themselves and the way that we've collectively been treated, and also the treatment that we've been accepting and tolerating from men, you know, there's the whole saying, the bar is in hell for our standards when it comes to men. So I think that with that, there's this friction between women becoming more progressive and perhaps men not knowing what the hell to do, and perhaps not wanting to level up, not knowing what it means. And then there's this this phenomena of like men using the surface level stuff of feminism to kind of just like make them seem like they're being progressive and like lure women into their space, their bedroom, their relationship, whatever it is. So I think that women are having a hard time with heterosexuality at the moment. Yeah, probably that's correct. And also, if you look at the, I know that sounds like a silly, very bold thing to say, but when you consider that 90% of all sexual violence that happens to women happens with a man they already know, the most dangerous thing a woman can do is date a man. Truly.
Yeah.
Because if the 10% is strangers, those horrible incidents where it happens with someone you don't know, with something that's happened on a night out, whatever it is. But 90% is someone you know. It's a relative. It's someone you're dating. It's someone you're in a relationship with. It's someone that is an acquaintance. So I think a lot of women at the moment are wrestling with realizing also how much we've collectively put up with, and then realizing that they are straight and they want to date men, but they don't like the state of the way that men are thinking at the moment. And it's this battle that a lot of women have. And I can imagine also confusing for men, not in a way that I'm empathizing with the way they've been treating with women at all, because it's trash, you know, if it has been trash. But I can imagine it's this, when the bar has been this way for so long.
Yes.
And now women are going, fuck no, and it's up here. it's women are a lot more becoming single a lot more, which is, I was preaching that years ago. I was like, stay single, because I come out of a relationship. And it wasn't a good relationship and I needed solitude. I was just preaching it for so long. And it was something that was really important to me to even understand myself and what I wanted and what I needed and to hold my standards to a high regard. So back to your question about what women are thinking about or concerned about. What I'm hearing from women is that they don't know how to date men when they're becoming more progressive and men just aren't evolving with them. And I think until there becomes an incentive for men to evolve with how they treat women, with what they learn about themselves, with how they treat people in the world, until that bar is raised and there is an incentive for them to, I think maybe the divide might just keep growing. But the alternative is that women just keep accepting and tolerating abuse and toxic treatment from men. So I just...
Well, I went on my friend is newly single and she took me on her Tinder and she's obviously dating straight men and she doesn't want to date women. So she was like, it's so hard dating straight men.
When you say she doesn't want to date women, you mean she's bi and she doesn't
want to, she's straight. And as in, so she doesn't have an out, basically. Okay. So yeah. She's like, okay, I have to date straight men. We went through her Tinder and maybe one of the others, but it is tricky, you know, like I didn't think it looked that different from when I was on the apps 10, 12 years ago.
Do you mean in terms of like what the men are saying?
Yeah,
on the apps?
What the men are saying. Like there's still a lot of men holding fish and, you know, like that kind of really bro adjacent language.
Okay.
Like
what? I wouldn't even know. I have no idea. But I think I recently interviewed this woman called Iona David on my podcast.
Yeah.
And she has an Instagram account called Beam Me Up Soft Boy.
Oh, I was just gonna ask you.
And it's all about soft boys and all the ways that men are using this emotional language, like talking about like self-love and talking about spiritual things and talking about just all of this stuff that women really connect with. And, you know, basically women end up just banking up enough quotable material to go back to their friends and go, oh my God, he's so emotionally intelligent. He said this. And then you kind of do the check boxes in your mind of like, wow, this guy's so emotionally self-aware. And then he ghosts you after you have sex with him.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, what's that all? And then women just start to not trust their intuition. It's fucking sad. And it's something I hate to see, because it doesn't matter how intelligent you are, how book smart you are. If someone's playing with your emotions and they do it, it's not your fault. People are just getting a lot better at doing it, I feel, with this, this language. And also a lot of men using femininity to kind of like lure and trap women. I have this joke where I say I never trust a man who wears a pearl necklace. Like, it's this thing.
Hang on,
that's
Harry Styles.
So he started doing it, and then all the boys that were like, so this is what the girls like, started wearing. It's a joke, like, I don't actually mean it. But every single time a friend like has been fucked over by a boy, he's always wearing a pearl necklace or a little dangly earring, you know?
That's what Beam Me Up Soft Boy sort of enlightens you to, is like the manipulation. Using sensitive as a smokescreen in order to manipulate and coercively control in a subtle manner. And it's really quite something. Florence, we have to end that. Floss, I'm not your mother. Well, that's lifted my soul. What a wonderful, wonderful person Floss is. Now then, next week, we're chatting to the brilliant Adam Kay. Remember him? The NHS doctor who wrote the amazing book, This Is Going to Hurt. He came on the podcast before. Deeply funny, deeply moving. He's got a new book. That's next week. Can't wait for that. Get in touch. Stay connected on Instagram at Homo Sapiens, Facebook at Homo Sapiens Podcast. Email your comments, questions, and agony uncles to hello@homosapienspodcast.com. Don't delay. Send today. That's what I would say. You've all been delightful. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself. Let's do it again. How about next week? Same time, same place. Wonderful. See you then.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Powered by Spirit Studios.